Cyber threats refer to malicious acts that seek to damage, disrupt, or gain unauthorized access to computer systems, networks, or devices. These threats can originate from various sources, including individual hackers, organized crime groups, state-sponsored actors, or even insiders. We will include the concept of false flags and related to cyber attacks. A false flag is a deceptive smokescreen tactic where the attackers use advanced methods to divert blame of a cyber failure or some other individual or group for political advantage. Valuable and free information from experts are contained in these short 7 to 15 minute podcasts. We want to help people understand the various end time threats and provide real time solutions along with the tools needed for their friends, families, and businesses to survive. Followers of our channel can receive a free action guide on each topic weekly. We hope that these guides will help people prepare for the serious threats we all face at this time in history. Our expert is a Green Beret, author, and podcaster, Steve Stratton, who served on the White House Communication Agency, supporting the needs of Presidents Ford, Carter, Vice Presidents Rockefeller and Mondale, as well as Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Steve will disclose unclassified information about cyber threats and tell us about his book entitled Caribbean Harvest. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Honored to be here, my friend. Thank you.
It's good to have people like you here that are taking your time to share this very vital information with us. It sounds like you've had a very interesting vantage point when it because you worked with various presidents. Would you like to share a little bit about that?
It started because I'm sort of crazy and I volunteer for a lot of things. And I was at basic training, supposedly headed to the Ranger Regiment up in, you know, Washington State. These guys showed up with longer hair, civilian clothes, started talking about Washington and travel around the world. And I thought, I'll take some of that. And before I know it, I'm 19 years old. My sponsor's driving me by the Watergate, says, you know what that is? And I said, yeah, it looks like the Watergate. And he says, yeah, don't go there. It was right before Nixon resigned, and it was not a good, yeah, you didn't want to go to the Watergate back then. So really fun way to learn about the world that I'd only seen through, you know, National Geographic. So very, very blessed in that way.
Wow, that's really incredible information. I bet you could tell some stories you're not supposed to tell, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. When I first joined the Secret Service, my boss said, hello, sorry, I got to go up to Congress and talk about tape recorders and things. And I'm like, wow, okay, I'm in the middle of it now.
You still have a security clearance?
Yeah, I do. Yep. And every time I write a book, you know, I've got to send it off to the military and other agencies to get it checked. So.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I would like to talk a little bit about your book called Caribbean Harvest, which is based on your experiences while being at the White House. Tell us a little bit about that book.
When I was in the Army and then later on in the National Guard, spent a lot of time down in South America, Colombia, and other places like that. So worked with a lot of other special operations forces from around the world. And in this book, which is the fourth in the series, Lance Bearwolf, my protagonist, finds out that El Chapo from the Sinaloa cartel is looking at Cuba to grow opium. So he says he needs to go. And his wife says, well, if you go, I go. So Ellie follows him along and that's how it starts. So
in that story, elaborate a little bit about the cyber side of it.
I retired from the cybersecurity space. So all my books have elements of cyber. I don't go into real detail telling you how to hack into somebody's database or steal their credit cards. But I always have that element in there. And even prior to AI coming on strong, I had always had a data system that they use called I call Providence, that they can has those kind of elements into it that it can manipulate, look at lots and lots of data. So they're a very cyber forward team, use it in a very appropriate way, like much like the military and three letter agencies are today. So,
wow. If you could elaborate a little bit about to our audience what they should be watching for or be aware of.
From a cyber perspective, the big thing is that the bad guys, we'll call them, are really getting more sophisticated on when they send these phishing emails, right? Used to be that they would send out these broad spectrum emails that would just go to everybody, and I'd look at it and go, well, that's sort of strange. I don't have a Bank America account. But now so much information has been stolen that they know what banks you work with. They know your name. They know your address. If we're lucky, they don't know your social security number, but they've got your email, probably your phone, which is not hard to find. And so they're very becoming much more targeted. So I just recently got one. And once again, it was about Bank America. But what they didn't know is since the data they had acquired the stolen data, I had closed that account. So I was able to see that attempt and sort of laugh at it, show it to my wife and say, well, look, these guys don't even know that I don't have an account anymore. But you've got to be very careful because they will send you emails and prompts and notifications, and they'll hide the fact that when you click on that link, you're not really going to Bank America. They'll use different fonts, like Russian fonts and other things, where an R, like a Romeo R and an N, November N, well, they'll put it together and it looks like an M, like Mary. And so that M in the middle of America, of Bank America, is really RN and sending you off to some place and, you know, who knows where, but it's not a good, safe place to be. So the number one thing is when you get something out of the blue that says, you need to check on this right away, you need to call us right away, that kind of thing. Never click on any links. Don't call those phone numbers. If it's supposed to be from your bank, call your bank directly. I have several times and they've said, nope, that's a scam. You know, be careful. So this is the big thing to watch out for. The other big thing to watch out for is today people trying to trick you with scanners when you've got your credit cards out or your wallet, things like that. And we could talk about that some more too.
Wow. So that's very good information that probably most of us don't even think about. One of our previous guests talked about what's called awareness, situational awareness, which is kind of a cool concept, being aware of the situation you're in. But when you're talking about this stuff, these emails, Ned, are you talking about, would the browser actually have an address that's other than Bank America, or would it still be a Bank America thing and it looks like it's Bank America?
Exactly. It's fake. It looks like you're going to click on a link, a good link that goes to Bank America help desk or something like that. But the safest thing to do is go, okay, well, this doesn't make sense, but let me go check with the bank directly. Don't click on that link. Don't open any PDFs, those kind of things. And that'll provide you with the best level of safety.
I'm really glad that you're communicating this about this because a lot of, and I'm 74 years old, so a lot of threats are thrown at people my age or even a little younger because they go, well, I got this on my phone or I got this on my computer and I think this is the bank and I got to hurry up and call them, and they get trapped a lot. So I'm hoping that our audience that will see this will share it with their in-laws or older folks in their family so that they can be aware of this. This is really good, valid information. But I had another thought about this also. When you think about this cyber, how would you present that to businesses? Is it the same thing, or would you do it a little differently?
Yeah, businesses, right? It depends on, you know, if you're a business that's doing a lot of credit card processing, things like that, right? You're a much better target for me, right? So the bad people have to spend time and money to create the attack. They have to do surveillance and all this kind of stuff. So me, I'm not as good a target as Amazon or somebody like that who's doing lots of credit card processing. And so they will create targeted emails that look like they're coming from the HR staff into the people that work at PayPal or Amazon and things like that. So they can get very sophisticated. Luckily, those larger organizations usually have tools that We'll take apart that email, scan it to make sure that it's clean. Sometimes take it all apart and rewrite it so that they know there's no bad links or anything behind it. So, but it's still the similar kind of thing. It's social engineering and email phishing. Most of the time at work, you don't get the grandma scam like you and I get. I live in a retirement community, so I know people that have fallen for that via the phone, where they've sent money off or, unfortunately gotten scammed. So, and it's taking place in electronically online now too, because like you said, the bad guys think that we're a bit older, maybe we're a bit more less savvy with technology, unlike the young kids and things like that. So got to be careful.
Well, we are not as savvy as the young kids. That's just the state of the deal. But exactly, I'd like to address one more little concept in this, which is, do you feel that cyber is being used in the false flag concept?
Oh, all the time. So in the military, we call it information operations. And underneath that is psychological operations, false flag, all kinds of campaigns that can happen that, whether it's election interference or the idea that in the military, we talk about the idea that we want to set the stage, get out like positive news that we're working with the country XYZ and we have a good relationship and we're hoping that they continue on or look at towards democratic processes. On the negative side of that is that, the information's coming out about different people or different institutions and are they trustworthy, right? So it's very well-known fact that Iran, North Korea, Russia, China, they're all trying to make us less favorable, less trusting of the institutions. And I believe it pays to, be looking at that because a lot of the information we see that seems to be coming from trustworthy sources really isn't. It is these false flag, it is this disinformation campaigns that our adversaries throw at us all the time, right?
Oh, man. Well, it makes you wonder a little bit, doesn't it? So that's part of my mission with this is to try to get information out like this so people are aware of even that so we're not deceived every day by this really demonic activity.
And absolutely, very much parallel to, the fight.
The days we live in. Finally, the final question I have is if give me a two-minute recap about your book and how our audience can simply prepare even a little bit more and get peace about these kind of threats. And I want to put this stuff in the action guide as well. Your wisdom has been fantastic to help people, I think. And anything else that you can think of that we can even put in the action guide that they can get for free at the end of the shows would be valuable. And also, I'm going to send everybody in the world to all your books on Amazon and let them get this firsthand from you as an expert.
No, thank you. The number one thing I tell people is don't be afraid of strong passwords. So using numbers, symbols, letters. If you create a really strong password, hopefully it's my wife's name is Ellie. So it's Steve and Ellie with some dates and maybe some hashtags or something like that. I never worry that I forget my password. Just use the password reset and reset another hard password. I forget passwords. I set such hard passwords, I forget them all the time. But I know I can reset them. Also, sure that you, if you can, on your website or in your applications, that you have what we call two-factor authentication. So as I sign in, it says, hey, where would you like a text sent? Do you want an email? Do you want a text? I prefer having things come to my phone because my phone is on my person. So because I have gotten a request to reset my password, and I didn't ask for it. Somebody else did. Somebody else hacked into the system enough to request to reset the password. But then I get a text on my phone And I'm looking at it going, that wasn't me. From?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm able to call the company or whatever. So two-factor authentication is another great thing to do. And then the third thing, because I like things in threes, like a stool, right?
That's a good idea.
That third thing I like is that I look at my credit cards, I look at my bank statement at least once a week, if not more often, just to see if there's something strange. I also have frozen my credit at the credit card of folks like TransUnion and Experian, those kind of people. It's a little bit of a hassle. If I wanted to open a new credit card, I got to call them to unfreeze it so they can approve it. But yeah, once it's frozen, nobody can open a credit card in your name, that kind of thing. So a couple of things that you can do, and we'll put them in the guide, right? So that the people can have those for later.
So they can't even, when you say frozen, can those checks they say that are not going to hit your credit still get through that pipe, or does that stop them cold?
No, you can still, the credit worthiness check is totally separate from the freeze, which keeps people from opening credit in your name. So,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I talked to a friend of mine the other day, and I'll let you go here in a second, but he talked about Faraday bags. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes. Right behind me, I have some bags from Silent. When I went overseas recently with my wife to Italy, we put our phones in the Silent bags, and we also wrapped our credit cards in foil protectors so that somebody couldn't scan our credit cards walking by us, right? So,
wow.
I take various physical and cyber protective measures to just ensure that our money stays ours.
Oh, you know? Yeah, really.
And, you know, yeah.
Does that Faraday bag stop signals from coming back and forth? Is that how it works?
Exactly. Yeah. It's very much like what you see in the movies when they all walk into the secure room and nobody can hear them. It's a similar technology to stop electronic emissions.
Oh, that's really cool, because I bought one, and I bought them on, I probably shouldn't announce this, Amazon, but I bought them, and for less than $30, you can buy these different size bags that you can put your laptop in or your phone in, and a friend of mine told me if you put it in there, if you're having a conversation, it can't pick it up. Is that right?
Exactly. The problem with a cell phone is it's always pinging, looking for the next cell site, right? It's looking for the best connection to give you the best service. And so, I mean, that's great. Of course, how we find bad people, they can send you to a false cell tower, and then we can do things, take over your phone and things like that. So, the Faraday bags are really good. And especially if you're traveling overseas, we don't have that big of a problem here in the States, unless you go to, you know, big cities like New York, LA, San Francisco, places like that, Miami. It's a good cheap alternative.
Well, that's really good. Well, I really appreciate your wisdom and your time today. We're again going to point everybody to your content, and these tips you gave were just very valuable. And I hope everybody pays attention to those, because this is stuff that we got to just watch these days and protect our families. So again, safe travels tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I hope you're blessed with this information. Please like, subscribe, and click on the notification tab to our channel, and we will send you advanced notices about upcoming threats to be discussed. Remember to capture the free action guides via our QR code embedded in an episode at the end. As a registered follower of the Worldwide Threat Podcast, you have our permission to download and share every episode and free action guide with your friends, family, and other businesses. Each Thursday, we'll post a new subject for you to consider and discuss. Set your watch to watch and to download the free action guide. Thank you. This is John White, the host of the Worldwide Threat Podcast. Please check out everything we're doing, and blessings to you and your family.